Let us begin this service by singing number 225. 225, how dear to me, O Lord of hosts, the place where thou dost dwell, the tabernacles of thy grace in pleasantness excel. Number 225. We read to you from God's holy word, the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. The first chapter, and we commence with the 11th verse. 1 Timothy 1. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in my first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This year I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest what a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is in thy condescending mercy and in thy long suffering that we have still a place at thy footstool, and that privilege to go out and in from day to day, where so many other people is bound to their house, laying in hospitals and institutions, and we are privileged so far till this day and moment that we are healthy and that there is another opportunity given unto us to come under thy word and testimony, which can make us wise unto salvation. Graciously come in our midst and in our heart. Open in this evening thy word and testimony, and that the mysteries of faith, but also the work of God revealed in the children of men, that they may be manifested personally also to our own heart and soul, for the first time or by renewal, and that that opportunity that is given unto us and our children, that it never shall testify in the days of days, that it never shall aggravate our punishment, but that it be to an eternal blessing for young and old, great and small. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Thou speakest and it is her. Thou commandest and it stands firm. Lord, have mercy with all of us. Visit us in thy love and in thy favor. Make our hearts receptive for the word that shall come unto us, and enable us also to bring it out and forth, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Grant unto us opening, freedom and liberty, and that we denying of self, that we may seek nothing else than the honor of thy name and the salvation of sinners, that thy people may receive liberty and freedom, that they may hear their name in this mentioned in this evening, that they receive something for their heart that would strengthen them on their pathway to the desert and wilderness of this world. Lord, perform wonders and miracles in our hearts and in our midst, which shall stay and remain with us forever and forever. Remember all the sick and all the afflicted. That mother who was operated in this morning, and thy hand made it well so far, and that report that she received this evening from those doctors, very satisfying. Lord, give an heart to bow before thee and to acknowledge thee. That boy who was operated yesterday, thy hand has strengthened him, as we have seen in this morning, made it further well also with him. Then also with that other boy who is out of intensive care now, laying in another room, made it well also with him, for soul and for body. And that Father who is waiting in the day of tomorrow for that serious operation, Lord, if it can be in thy counsel, bring him through that operation. Give him back to his dear wife and children. There is nothing too wonderful for thee that he call upon thy holy name also for him, and that the needs and wants were laid upon our heart, where thou hast said in thy word, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt honor me. Remember also that minister, that brother in that other place. Thou knowest his weak condition, as we have heard also today out of his own mouth. Oh, be with him in that deep way, by day and by night. Deliver him out of all the bends, and lifted him up out of all his distress. Lord, that it may please thee to restore him and to help him for soul and for body both, also for his dear ones and for that congregation. Tis all in thy hands. We are so dependent from thee. And it comes time and again out in our life that we need thee, and without thee that we can do nothing. But Lord, gladdened their hearts, all the sick in our midst and outside of the church, we commend them all at the throne of grace, with all the widows, orphans and widows, in all the distress and in the lonesome life, with all the boys in the service and in Vietnam. Look upon them by day and by night. And that our gathering in this evening be in the fear of thy holy name. Lord, break the power of the devil inside and outside, that thy kingdom come and established in many hearts with the pardoning and remission of all our sins for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 294. Your offering will now be taken for the school. 294. Men who walk in folly's ways and to evil turn aside, find that sorrow will repay those who wisdom's laws defiled, down to death's dark portals led, they abhor their daily bread. Number 294. Beloved congregation, our catechism is called, is mentioned many times, a book of comfort. And indeed, it speaks from the beginning to the end of that only comfort that there is in life and in death. And the great value of that catechism book is, of course, that it is based on the eternal Word of God. Because in the beginning of the Bible, then you read there about Noah, born out of Lamech, that he would comfort the people. And we all know that refers to to Christ, to him who can grant unto us that only comfort that there is in life and in death. And throughout the whole world of God congregation, we have so many proofs and so many examples that the Lord is not only mighty, but that he is also almighty, and that he is the only one who can perform miracles and wonders as no person in the whole world can do. This evening, I will say something about that too. My text for this evening is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. This verse. The text that speaks about that great privilege that the Lord had given to Saul on the way of Damascus. He speaks about that miracle. That is the first thing what we have to consider this evening. And then in the second place, the deep humility that Paul revealed about that miracle that was glorified in his life. It is remarkable that Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, not speaks about the revelation of Christ to Mary Magdalene, to those other women, also not of Thomas. There was also a great wonder glorified in his life, but he mentioned nothing of that at all. But well, he starts with Cephas. He called him not Peter here, but he speaks about Cephas. Why? Because he was the one who had denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And we know all that have taken place at that awful moment in his life that he denied that he had any connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great wonder that the Lord came back in the life of that Cephas to such a one. And I spoke already about comfort. What is it for us and what must it for us to be in comfort that Christ, after that he was risen from the dead, that he had revealed himself to that man, to such a guilty one. Last week we have heard about the appearance of Christ to James, who was all the time an enemy of Christ, living in the same house with him. But nevertheless, the grace of the Lord was revealed also in the life of that James. And then he said, at last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. You can realize, congregation, that Paul, when he wrote that in this chapter, that still his heart was touched, and that it for him was and remained such a great wonder what the Lord had done unto him. Saul of Tarsus, you know, what an enemy that he was of Christ. A persecutor, a man who had stolen from the church, robbed of the church, both men and women, who had a great place in the church, but he took them out of their houses. He brought them in jail, and later on, then they were killed. His whole life that lay behind him, that was an awful life. I can say this evening, it was all black. It was all black. And we have, of course, proofs in the Bible that the Lord had forgiven all the sins of that man. That the Lord had cast his sins behind him in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember. Paul was a man who was justified in his conscience. He had for himself that consciousness that his sins were forgiven and that he had received a right to eternal life. But in his mind, it was always what he had done. Even the last letter that he wrote to Timothy, I have read this evening a little part of it to you. But even in that last letter, then he still refers to what he had done. The bitterness of sin that was there still in his heart. And that keep that man so small. He had labored more than all those other apostles. We know that. but for himself then he was the least of the apostles. He said here in this text, and last of all, he was seen of me also. Of course, there was no other one unto the Lord has revealed himself, and that was John at the island of Patmos. But in that special manner, then he was the last of all unto whom that Christ had appeared. Because in the same time that the Lord converted him, in that same time he was called to the ministry, to that great work, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. In the Greek Bible is a word mentioned for one born out of due time, the word ektroma. And that word ektroma that had different meanings. That refers in the first place to a certain what they call now in our days abortion. And that means that Paul, that for himself, that he really was convinced that he had no right, that he would be called an apostle. There were 12 apostles called by the Lord. One was fallen away. You know that. And Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians, I am not an apostle. I am not called by the Lord Jesus Christ. But now when he thought about those other apostles, then he never had freedom and liberty to place himself on the same level. Everybody know, to a certain extent, of course, if we live under the true doctrine and that have not some impression in our conscience, then we are persuaded to a certain extent that there is no reason that we elevate ourselves above other people. Paul, he said in Romans 3, we have all sinned and we all come short of the glory of God. But especially if the Lord gave us grace in our heart, then that is something else. God's people, that is brought by the Lord in the valley of deep humiliation. And for them personally, it become the greatest wonder that the Lord have looked upon them. And it is a good sign, congregation, if that wonder is increasing more and more. There is so many people in the days in which we are living, in the different churches, we have it in our own church also, that they are satisfied with themselves, and that they are thinking, I am a man. I am a man. You can see it on their faces. Their faces are never hanging up on their breasts. No. No, they are so bold. They think, and not only thinking, but they reveal it in their lifetime and again, that they are standing so high and they are looking to other people as that Pharisee was looking in Luke 18 to that publican in the back of the temple. He was the best of all. And that is, of course, that is living by nature in each and every person. The first sin in paradise, that was pride. That Adam desired to stand on the same level as the Lord. Even to elevate himself above the Lord. But if the Lord comes in our life and in our heart, then he brings us down. And it is too bad that there can be times in our life, people, that there is so little of that in our heart. That is too bad. One of our old writers, Erskine, he said in one of his sermons, we all have a nature to climb in the tree. That is our nature. Even with what the Lord gives in our heart. But the Lord, he knows how that he can bring us and shall bring us to the right place. Samson, he slew one day 1,000 Philistines. And then he was so proud that he had done that. So proud. But the next day, then the Lord, he brought him in the depths. And then he lay there, crying to the Lord, shall I now fall in the hand of my enemies? He was crying in his deep distress to the Lord. Thus, the Lord had ways enough, people, to bring us where we never can bring ourselves in our life. And there is no better place than in the valley of deep humiliation. They asked Augustine once, but well, was the greatest grace that he could receive. And then he said, humbleness. And then they asked him the same question 3 times. And then every time he said, humbleness. That is the greatest grace that we can receive for ourselves. And now with that Paul, that was also the same thing. Now, there is no another explanation about the word ectroma, one born out of due time. That refers also, that same word, to a child who is born after the death of his father. Thus, as a child that never had known his father. It was after the ascension of Christ that Christ had converted Saul on the way of Damascus. And then there is another explanation that refers to the conversion of Paul that it took place so sudden, so unexpectedly, and in such a short time. In other words, those apostles, they have the privilege that they were for 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they have a preparation as an apostle for 3 years. Paul, in his unconverted state, he was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. And that was in that time a very wise professor. You can find in the traditions that man, he had about 1,000 students under him. And from all sides out of the land of Canaan, they came to Jerusalem to follow his lessons. It was thus a wonderful wise man. But of course, that was a wisdom different as that Christ had taught his disciples. It had well some profit, of course. It was not all in vain what he had heard from him, Gamaliel. No. You can realize that later on as an apostle that he had a profit also of what he had learned from that Gamaliel. You find that back in his epistles which he wrote to the congregations and to some different persons. But nevertheless, he always saw himself as one born out of due time. He was, in other words, so jealous in regard to those apostles who were sitting at the feet of Christ and who were always with him for 3 years, listening to his instructions and to his teaching. And therefore, even that he became an old man, then still that Paul, he taught so much about those other apostles who had a preparation for the great work in the church. And it was not so with him. However, he had received the instructions immediately, right and straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, the depth of what he wrote here in this text that refers, as it is with every child of God, he had learned himself as a person, as a chief of sinners, as the greatest of sinners. And he had also learned something else, namely, where he came from. And you can realize out of this text in this evening that the Apostle Paul, that he never could forget where he came from. That was all the time before him. He came also out of paradise. And then our condition, as well as the condition of that Paul, that is described in Ezekiel 16, where the people is laying in their blood. No eye having compassion with them, and not only that people, but by nature. I told you that many times. And it is hard to take it over. It is hard to fall under it. But by nature, if the Lord made us honest, then we will so confess before God and men that in us that there is no desire to fear the Lord and to walk in his ways. We are without God in the world, and we have no regret and no sorrow and no grief of that at all. And we do everything by nature to stay far away from the Lord. It shall be our own fault if we are lost people. And if our life comes back when we die, it is a blessing when it comes back while we are living. And when the Lord sent us home, our whole life, but which is nothing else than a sinning against the Most High God, a righteous and a just God. That we come to the realization that our whole life is nothing else than an abomination in the sight of the Lord. And now in regard to the Apostle Paul, I have now something else to tell you. You read in the Bible, when Stephen was stoned, then he agreed with it. But I have found in the Bible not something else than that. Maybe you too. Maybe you too. When I mention it to you in this evening, and that is this. Then you read in Acts 7, where you find that history, of course, of Stephen, and cast, that was that Stephen, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes, the witnesses, at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. You read not that Paul took care for the clothes of Stephen. No. If you think about that now, then you can realize that there was such a separation between him and between Stephen. He had nothing to do with it. There was a separation, people, as I will call that this evening, an eternal separation. No respect for that Stephen. No love for that Stephen. Nothing else than enmity. Well, love for that people that stoned. And that man, he placed himself for 100% at the side of that people. You have always thought about it. But now nevertheless, and notwithstanding, that he also in his life, as you read in Acts 9, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, make no difference for him, that he might bring him bound unto Jerusalem. That was now his former life. And there on the way of Damascus, before that he entered into that city, then there was a light and there was a voice. Saul, Saul, why does you persecute me? Why? And it was done. It was done. Dead that enemy, he lay there. He lay there as a sinner before the Lord. In our days, they say, we need not such and come first near that man. We do not need that because we are children of the covenant. We are baptized. Our fathers and our mothers, they all go to the Lord's Supper. They are all Christians. And I follow their footsteps. I do the same thing. And I can mention to you so many good works that we do. And now it is, of course, you can realize it is hard to accept that we are an enemy. And that we are dead in trespasses and sins. But now that same miracle that the Lord had performed in the life of that soul, that same miracle that have to be done in our own heart and in our own soul congregation. And we have in our life, we have to learn something of that free and of that sovereign work of the Lord, that where we, by virtue of our fallen Adam, never from ourselves, never have any desire to bow before the Lord, but well to run away from him, and farther people. But that now the Lord picked us up out of the depth of death and of enmity, and that he glorified his grace in our heart, as we will sing now out of 306. 306. On whom but God can we rely? The Lord our God, who reigns on high, who condescends to see and know the things of heaven and earth below. The things of heaven and earth below. 306, 3 and 4. And now the text said, and last of all, he was seen of me also. And you can realize, congregation, that Paul, that he emphasized also the word, also. And last of all, he was seen of me also. He had never any thought about it. Never. And there was before his conversion, There was never any need in his heart. There was never one sigh and one cry. He had lived as a Pharisee, you know that. And we know about the Pharisees that they were standing on the corner of the street praying that all the people saw. But now on the way of Damascus, that was for the first time in his life that he prayed in truth and uprightness. How can you prove that? Oh, the Lord himself. He said, behold, he prays. That was for the first time that he did it with his heart. Unite my heart to the fear of thy name, Lord, who art thou? And what wilt thou that I shall do? That came for the first time from his lips. And then you can see, my dear friends, what a great wonder and changing that grace brings in our life. Then it is so different as that it ever was before. And last of all, he was seen of me also. And how did he now see the Lord Jesus Christ? He saw him as his benefactor and commiserate high priest. As soon as he lay there on the ground on the road to Damascus, then it was for that man such a miracle that he lay not for 30 years in hell already. Because he must be 30, 31 when the Lord had comforted him. He was in the prime of his life. And it was now a man, he never had prayed for conversion. Never. Because he was a Pharisee. He was a child of Abraham. There was no need for conversion at all in his heart. But if when the Lord opened his eyes, and people, when the Lord opened our eyes, they asked once as a minister, what takes place when the Lord opened our eyes? And then that old man, I have known him as boy, then that old man, he said, I tell you, he said, the first thing what we see when the Lord opened our eyes, that is, how blind that we are. That is the first thing. And if the Lord comforts us, that is always accompanied with sorrow and with regret. Remorse. Always. Now in our days, there is so many happy people, but if you would ask them, did you have ever a tear in your eye that you have sinned against an holy and a righteous and a merciful God, then they don't know what to answer you. They don't know what you have to answer. And now Paul, he said, and last of all he was seen of me. And then he saw. He was immediately privileged with the knowledge of Christ. That is something special. That happens not with all God's children. For some it takes years before that they come to that knowledge. But Saul on the way of Damascus, the Lord, he revealed himself immediately to that man. And you read about John at the island of Patmos. When I saw him, I fell as dead at his feet. Dus let us learn this evening, congregation, that the grace of the Lord make never a big person, never big persons, but all low and small and in the dust. And for himself and they lay there, they are satisfied. No. Maybe somebody would say to me, I cannot believe that. That if you lay now on the ground in the dust and are still not satisfied, why not? Is it then not a great wonder for that person that he lays there? Oh, yes. But he wants something else. He wants still something else, and that is people to bow deeper and deeper before the Lord. That is a sign of spiritual life. And all that people that have times in their life, one more than the other, but they all have times that they lay there. All of them. Later on, then we are sometimes so far from it that we think, shall there not still ever come a time that I come back to that time in my life that I was nothing before the Lord? And that is something you cannot buy it, and that is something nobody can give it to you, but that must be given us as a free gift from the Lord. And that is also my one moment when that happens. That the Lord speaks and it is recommends and it stands firm. I hope, really, I hope, congregation, that I have several in my midst and under my preaching this evening, several, young and old ones, that they say sometime to himself, oh, I think that never will happen in my whole life. One said, I am 20 years. Another said, I am 30. Other ones are 40, 50, more older. Sometime well as moments in their life, when they were alone, that there was well as a sigh and a cry, Lord, please, graciously please, oh, break my heart in pieces, bring me in the dust. But there happens nothing. And there come times in our life that we think we shall must stop praying. Is there some here in my midst too? That they have that intention in their heart and mind to stop with it. On account of the Lord, do not hear me. The Lord, do not answer me. But I have a question for you. And answer that between the Lord and your soul. You have not to answer for me, no. But for the between the Lord and your soul, can you stop with it? Can you stop with it? Can you stop with it? That means not every day and every week, oh no. But that there's some time moments, by day or by night, that you say, oh Lord, please, have mercy with me. I am so old already. I see my children growing up. And that preached to me that the end of my life is soon coming. that I have to appear before the Lord. And what shall it be with such an hard heart to stand for that judgment seat of Christ Jesus? Oh, have mercy with me. My dear people, if that sigh and that cry is in truth and uprightness in your heart, I give you the assurance this evening that at God's time that he shall answer you and that he shall speak to you so. That shall take place. There is a text in Psalm 9. And that speaks so clear of it. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. That is the text. And what the Lord has revealed in his word, congregation, that is the truth. And he shall never break it, but he shall fulfill it. Even that you have to wait till the last day of your life. It can even happen, people, that in the separation of soul and body, thus in the hour of death, that the Lord confirmed what he had spoken to his people. I did believe that as once by an old widow when she was 90 years old. I visited her time and again, and I asked her time and again, and then the answer was always with tears, it's eternity shall for no one in the world so worse as for me. Because, he said, I have a praying Father. And there are laying so many tears before the throne for me. What shall I be terrible? And while I was praying there in the house of the tomb, then I received so much assurance that one day that the Lord would answer that room, as that he had answered that thief on the cross who cried in the last hour, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And few days before that she died, then the Lord answered her. Then the Lord gave her the desire of her heart. And she could tell it her children and those that visited her. Thus it can well take a long time, people. But if it is true here, if there are times in our life that we cannot live without the Lord, that we cannot die without the Lord, that we can say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. If you cast me away out of your sight, that shall be right. That shall be right forever and forever. But Lord, is there no still room for me? A little place. A little place for me, for a sinner. The Lord, he shall give the desire of our heart. If we look outwardly to the condition of the world and the church, then we would say, let us stop. Let us stop. But if we look into the Word of God and to what the Lord had promised for lost sinners, for sins who cannot live as David. Oh, then we believe that till the end of the world that he shall have a church, and that he shall gather that church, and that he shall establish that church, and that to his honor, to his glory, and to the salvation of sinners, and last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due season, due time. And now that Saul down the way of Damascus, and in that city, ye have seen that Christ as mediator, who had reconciled God with a sinner, and reconciled the sinner with God. He had seen him as a surety. He had seen that Christ with receipt in his hand, that he had paid all the guilt and sin for his dear people. He had seen that Christ as one who had a victory over Satan, over death and over hell. And he had seen him as a compassionate high priest, also for his further life, that he would take care for him. And he had seen him as that Christ, to receive out of his fullness, grace for grace, and that Christ, of whom he was writing to the Colossians, that Christ is all and in all for him. And then the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Young and old, that the Lord give you that privilege. It is still the day of grace. It is still the day of salvation. The door is not closed, but is open for a sinner, that Christ received us, and that he speak comfortable to our soul, that he speak peace and pardon to us, and children of God. Oh, we come on the same place as the Apostle Paul, born out of due time. Out of due time, as the greatest wonder that ever have taken place, and that not to elevate ourselves, but to extol the Most High God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I hope I shall stop for this evening, but I hope that a few words spoken in this evening, that it be to the comfort of many hearers leaving this place this evening, that the Holy Spirit applies it to our heart, that he sanctify it to our soul, and that he receive all the praise and all the honor. Oh, there is no reason to leave the church discouraged. You have heard it out of the Word of God, and I hope it is the wish of my heart that those that have no curse, that they receive curse. And those that have no comfort, that they receive comfort in this evening out, not of my word, but out of the eternal and unchangeable Word of God. Amen. Lord, bless a few words to our heart. Remember the whole congregation with offers bearers, the parents and the children, in all the troubles, in all the afflictions, in all the cares, in all the needs and wants. Strengthen in the day of tomorrow that Father in his operation. Oh, Lord, help him through and sanctify to his heart. And be with all of us. Bring us safely home and strengthen us further in all the labors that laying upon our shoulders, that we may see one another the next Saturday in good health. Hear us, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 172. O bless the men whom thou dost use and draw in love to thee. Number 172, the first stanza. I have a request from Pinerest yesterday evening to announce to you that Reverend Elshout can have no visitors. I talked this afternoon of with him, but his condition is very weak. And the doctors, they think that it is the best thing not to bother him with visiting, because he is in a condition that he cannot stand it. We hope that the Lord will remember him in mercy. And also Van der Waal in the day of tomorrow, in that serious operation, that they shall start 8 o'clock in the morning. We hope that the Lord nog bring him through. It is all in his hand. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.